Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, the Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
We will not allow an extension beyond August 31st, so the US should remove and evacuate all personnel by the set deadline. The Islamic Emirate is trying to encourage people to go home, but the Americans are inviting people to go to the airport. Their adverse policy of continuing to board people on planes. The airport access route has been closed to avoid stampedes.
But the completion by August 31st depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate and allow access to the airport for those who were transporting out, and no disruptions to our operations.
Totally at the Taliban's mercy. We've got to have Taliban cooperation here if this is going to work. And yet you heard there, before the fake president, you heard the Taliban spokesman say, the Americans are inviting people to the airport. We're telling them to go home. I mean, they're basically saying, they're telling the international news media, we don't want them to go to the airport, and we want the Americans out. And he said August 31, and if you don't leave, there's going to be consequences. And here's Joe Biden. Yesterday, he talks about, yeah, I was on the phone with the G7, and he acts as if we're all in agreement. There was a cartoon today in the Times. All of these G7 leaders on the phone, on video conference call with the fake president. And the fake president's there with two Taliban leaders, armed with machine guns, probably made in America. But he's a hostage, and the whole world knows it. The whole world knows it. Europe knows it. Britain knows it. Canada. Everyone is seeing this play out. And he can get up and give a 7-minute speech, and that's it. 7 minutes on this topic. And act as if it's perfect, and act as if it's all according to plan. But it's not. This represents a humiliating defeat for the United States of America. And everyone in the world is watching. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing online audience. We appreciate our broadcast partner, CRN, Digital Talk Radio Network, the Channel 3 on that platform. It takes the audio version of this broadcast into 11 million homes across the United States. To get to the video presentation of this show, you have that exclusively offered at our website, thetrumpet.com, and you get the banner alert right at the homepage every day right around this time. 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, 12 noon out east, 9 a.m. in the morning on the West Coast. And if you want to go direct to the live stream page, as well as to the podcast that we post a couple of hours after each show, you can get to that by going to thetrumpet.com/live. Lots to get to on today's program, as we all were watching events unfold yesterday, and it truly is. It's shocking. It's just stunning to see life after America, to see, as we said in our, 2014, the January edition of the Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news today. That's right. We're way ahead of the curve because of the insights that God gives to us. Bible prophecy, the sure word of Bible prophecy. NATO is disintegrating right before our eyes. Afghanistan is turning into a terrorist super state. You've got all the illiterates in Afghanistan, and some have said, oh, the $85 million of hardware that the Americans just left them, they won't be able to use it. They don't know how to fly those planes. Yes, but the Chinese know, or they will know. The Iranians, they'll know. The Russians, they all know. Those weapons will be used. And they're going to be used against Americans. listen to Joe Biden yesterday as he comes out for a 12-minute speech, but Afghanistan, the subject of Afghanistan, it's not even the top billing in his speech. This is clip one.
Before I update you on the meeting that I had with leaders of the G7 earlier today, I want to say a word about the progress we're making on the Build Back Better agenda here at home.
And so he's off. He's off and running on Build Back Better. Well, we've got infrastructure news to talk about. Here the United States is facing possibly the worst hostage crisis in our history. And he comes out talking about infrastructure. 10, maybe as many as 15,000 Americans. Yes, stranded, trapped. And the U.S. government, they said it wasn't the case. Jen Psaki on Monday, she says, they're not stranded, Peter. Come on now. I take issue with your use of the word stranded. And now they admit, well, yes, we're going to have to leave some behind. Yes, some are going to be stranded. And then all of these clips of people in Afghanistan crying out for the U.S. government to intervene. The G7 leaders crying out, please don't leave on August 30. We've got our own people there. And yet Joe Biden, the illegitimate president of the United States, no matter what G7 leaders say, no matter what even military leaders are saying, even propagandists in the media, you can't leave Americans. And yet he's going to do it. In fact, we should say Barack Obama is going to do it. This is the outcome he wants. He wants to empower the Taliban. He wants to empower ISIS. He wants to empower Iran. And so he's there behind the curtain, of course. But he's got his hand through to the back of the puppet. And he's controlling this. He's guiding this. This is brought to you by the same people, the same spirit that sealed the Iran nuclear deal. We want to try to make Iran a nuclear power. That was the position of Barack Obama. And the same people, the same administration is working behind the scenes on this deal. Even when everyone in the world is crying out, no, don't do it. It's going to be a disaster. People are going to die. It's going to become a terrorist safe haven. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is the way he thinks. He was close to communists in school. Barack Obama was. His dad was a rabid anti-colonialist. The problems all over the world, it can trace right back to the British Empire and the American superpower. And we need to do everything that we can to bring them down one notch after another notch after another notch and to empower all of these other nations, America's enemies. And they're following through on that master plan. 5 minutes. You've got as many as 10 to 15,000 Americans stranded, trapped in a nation controlled by the Taliban. And now ISIS is making a resurgence because, well, the first thing the Taliban did is they opened the prison cells. ISIS making a resurgence, Al-Qaeda, they're all there. You can say, well, these groups hate each other. They fight against each other. Well, what do they all have in common? They all hate the United States of America. They all want the United States of America out of their neighborhood. And so does Iran, and so does China. China doesn't want a big base right there in the heart of Asia, a big U.S. base. So they're all, as I said earlier, they're all celebrating. They're celebrating in Moscow. They're celebrating in Beijing. And the United States, just as Leviticus 26 prophesies, in an absolute free fall from power. U.S. officials, it was reported yesterday, I think the head of the CIA or something, meeting with these Taliban officials. And basically, the Taliban not budging an inch, as you heard from their spokesman. The Taliban saying, no, August 31 is hard and fast. It's firm. and the United States walking away from that meeting saying, all right, we gotta get out by August 31, probably the last 3 days or so are going to be needed for just our military personnel and equipment. So we've got about three, four more days to evacuate U.S. citizens. I mean, do you need any stronger proof that Joe Obama is behind, that this is what they want, that this is the desired outcome? Complete and total surrender. Fox News says, the development comes shortly after a Taliban spokesperson following a meeting between leader Mullah Abdul Ghani Berarder and CIA director William Burns in Kabul said there was to be no extensions to the Biden administration's August 31 date. The Defense Department Press Secretary John Kirby, he said yesterday that the White House is still aiming for the end of the month. That would be next week. That's next, Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday? The U.S. Embassy in, I guess, what's left of it. They still have some kind of equipment to send out messages. The embassy in Kabul, they sent a message out to American citizens yesterday. This is the final message for American citizens who wish to depart Kabul. It's the final one. And then you hear Psaki, by the way, saying things like, if they want to leave, you know, we're going to make sure they can leave. As if all the Americans in Afghanistan are sitting there going, I wonder if we should get out from underneath Taliban rule. I wonder if we should try to get on one of those planes. They can't get to the plane. That's the problem. They're being turned away by the Taliban, telling everyone, go back home. We don't want people fleeing. We're just going to wait out the deadline here. And then they've got total control in just a few days. And here comes the message from the U.S. Embassy. All caps, by the way. The final message for American citizens who wish to depart. American citizens who choose to remain in Afghanistan should be prepared to arrange their own departure without assistance from the U.S. government. So that'll be the narrative next week when the U.S. leaves. You can be sure. Take this to the bank. Jen Psaki and all the other propagandists in the administration will come out and say, hey, there were some that stayed behind, but I guess they made that choice. Because the Taliban, they were really cooperative. They were giving all of the Americans safe passage. They weren't carrying out revenge killings. They weren't carrying out executions. They weren't beating Americans. They weren't beating Westerners and Christians. Oh, no. They made the choice to stay. That'll be the narrative. They sent out that message yesterday, and NBC News reported that they quickly recalled the message. I guess they didn't elaborate on why, but I have a feeling there was an outpouring of response. Wait a second, we want out. We can't get out. Someone needs to help us. It really is, as Nigel Farage said, it's an absolute low point for the United States of America. So August 31, we're just a few days away, and that international airport in Kabul, it's going to close down, at least as far as the American military is concerned. And then September 1st, it's all the Taliban's, and then we're just 10 days or so away from the 9/11 anniversary. And what a victory. What an anniversary celebration that's going to be in Kabul and all over Afghanistan, in Iran, Pakistan, Iraq, all through the region. There was this story from Politico. You could look at this maybe as another strategic leak coming from the administrative state, exposing the Biden administration and all of its failures. The Federalists summarized the report. Since the evacuation effort began, the U.S. has evacuated a total of 26,582 people from Afghanistan, according to Ward. American citizens make up 4,400 of the rescued, while Afghans make up 21,500. The third country nationals represent 642. So 4,000 400 Americans have been evacuated. That's it. That's it. And the evacuation's been going on for what, weeks? And the Biden administration is making it out like it's the Berlin airlift. Oh, yeah, it's perfect. I mean, this is a massive undertaking. And what a success! What a success this has been! Only 4,400 Americans have made it out. It says political national security reporter Alex Ward released leaked U.S. State Department evacuation numbers from Kabul. So again, why was it leaked? You have to go and consider the motivations here. There's a lot of people in the administrative state, in the propaganda media, Barack Obama's own people, who now see this not just as an opportunity to surrender to radical Islam, to empower Taliban and other terrorist groups, but this is an opportunity to get rid of Joe Biden as well. I mean, this is perfect. What a perfect plan. Get rid of the front man. Move Kamala in there. She's even more eye to eye with that Antiochus. It's all playing out according to their grand design. According to a leaked U.S. State Department evacuation, these numbers, it says, according to Ward, within 15 hours on August 23rd, midnight, the United States evacuated a total of 6,916 people from the country. Of those, only 483 were American citizens. So they've got a few more days of it, and you think if they get 500, 600, 700 Americans out each day, is that going to cover it? What was the Iran hostage crisis in 1979? It went on for 400 and some odd days. Just a shameful display from the United States of America, and that was 52 hostages. That's it. I mean, 52 is 52 too many. But what are we looking at here? They're pinning all of their hopes on goodwill and mercy from the Taliban. And you hear these reports of the State Department leaving behind. Evidently, they didn't burn everything and destroy all the equipment in the embassy. There's records of all these people in Kabul and Afghanistan that helped the United States government, that helped the U.S. operations, the war against terror. And now the Taliban, they're ringing these people up, going door to door. They know who they are. Boy, this is, and from reports that you're getting in some, maybe some obscure sources, like I said, the revenge killings and those kinds of things are being carried out already. Boy, you get ISIS in there in the mix. They like to carry out the killings on video and then send those videos around the world. Who's behind the leaks? How much longer is Biden going to last? Listen again to what he said yesterday, after he goes on 5 minutes about infrastructure this, infrastructure that. I guess we've got to get some help for transgender truck drivers and things of that nature. That's important. So let's go on and on for 5 minutes about that. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi, she's working behind the scenes to change rules in the House so that you can get this $1.2 trillion monstrosity through and then add another $3.5 trillion. Let's just get the Green New Deal in motion. And then they have the border, the southern border, wide open, all the COVID positives streaming in. It's an attack. This is the outcome they want. Imagine at this time, a congresswoman, a senator, getting up and actually putting some serious, long into the night work on Green New Deal financing, even as you've got thousands of Americans trapped, stranded, crying for help. Listen to Joe Biden yesterday, clip 3.
The longer we stay, starting with the acute and growing risk of an attack by a terrorist group known as ISIS-K, an ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan, which is a sworn enemy of the Taliban as well. Every day we're on the ground is another day we know that ISIS-K is seeking to target the airport and attack both U.S. and allied forces and innocent civilians. Additionally, thus far, the Taliban have been taking steps to work with us so we can get our people out. But it's a tenuous situation. We've already had some gunfighting break out. We run a serious risk of it breaking down as time goes on.
He speaks of the Taliban as if it's Canada or something. Yeah, up until this ISIS threat, we were working great with Taliban. And ISIS, you mean to say, are you actually saying that it's so dangerous in and around Kabul that you've got to get out the U.S. military but leave ordinary defenseless Americans? Is that what you're saying? Instead of saying, we're bringing more in to get our people out, because ISIS isn't going to get control of our citizens. He says, we've got to go. It's too dangerous around the airport. Well, he's admitting, right there, he's admitting that Americans and Afghans with U.S. visas, he's admitting that they can't get to the airport because it's too dangerous. So cut and run. Why? Well, because the Taliban says so. That's who's calling the shots here. It's exactly as is depicted on the Times cartoon page today. He's being held hostage. And all of U.S. forces, in just a few days, they're gone. They got to get out. It's too dangerous. Listen to clip 5.
We went to Afghanistan with our allies and 2001 for clear reasons. One, to get the people who attacked us on 9/11 and to get Osama bin Laden, and to make sure that Afghanistan was not used again as a base from which to attack the United States or our allies. We achieved that objective. We delivered justice to bin Laden more than a decade ago.
We achieved what objective? Oh, we stopped Afghanistan from becoming a terrorist state in the war against terror, and now here we are 20 years on, and we're having to leave Kabul in shame because it's turning into a terrorist state because ISIS-K is surrounding the Kabul airport? In the same speech, in the very same speech where he says it's too dangerous, there's too many terrorists, we've got to get out, he also says, hey, mission accomplished. We kept it from turning into a terrorist state. Job well done. Way to go, everyone. Let's get out. Let's go home. This is what Americans want. Is this really what Americans want? A humiliating defeat for all the world to see? And a hostage crisis unlike anything this nation has ever seen? There better be some people in the Biden administration hoping for an evolution in the Taliban and ISIS, because there's going to be targets all over the nation and nobody to protect the most vulnerable. I mean, this is the way they operate. This is the way these communists think. Look, let's just carry out our objectives. If people die along the way, doesn't matter. We're still right. We're always right. It was in Cuomo's thinking last year. Okay, elderly, they're dying all over the place. But look, we've got to do it because there's going to be a shortage of beds in the hospitals. So just send the sickies back into the nursing homes. And then there's never any consequences. What will the narrative be next week? They decided to stay, I guess. They really, really, really wanted to stay in Afghanistan. They really love the Taliban. You can't say on the one hand that it's mission accomplished, there's no danger, we got to go home now, and at the very same time say, we've got to go home now because it's so dangerous. Here's Joe Biden yesterday as he concludes his remarks, clip 6.
So thank you again, and God bless you, and may God protect our diplomats and all those in harm's way.
May God protect our diplomats and all those in harm's way. That's another way of saying you are on your own. You better look to God because you're sure not going to get any help from the United States government. It's pretty sad to watch this. Well, that's an understatement if ever there was one. It's sickening. It's sickening. It's difficult. It's difficult to see this play out. and all these people, I'm not the only one, all of these people sounding the alarm. And no one there in the Joe Obama administration, they just couldn't care. They could care less. Whatever Taliban says, that's what we're going with. As I said, with Jen Psaki, the chief propagandist in the administration, she's there on Monday saying, look, Americans aren't stranded. And then yesterday, within 24 hours, admitting that, well, yeah, we're going to have to leave some behind. Here's a montage of her from the past couple days, clip 7.
Well, I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded.
After the withdrawal, it's done, you know, it's declared, it's done. Everyone's out. If one U.S. citizen was suddenly discovered, you know, saying, hey, I really want to get out and I'm stuck, who knows where, somewhere in Afghanistan or in Kabul, he's got any problem, would this trigger a diplomatic, military, or hands-on-deck type thing to get that person out, whatever the date?
Our commitment continues to be to U.S. citizens. If they want to leave, we will help get them out.
No matter what the date.
Again, we expect there could be some, but I'm not going to get into it. I would say that this is now on track, Peter, to be the largest airlift in U.S. history. And that is bringing American citizens out. It is bringing our Afghan partners out. It is bringing allies out. So no, I would not say that is anything but a success.
Yeah, it's a success. She said that yesterday, I believe. So she's acknowledging that, yeah, we'll have to leave some behind, implying that they're going to choose to stay back. I mean, it can't be us. It's not our problem. I mean, it's not our fault. They didn't want to come. They didn't want to come to the airport. A success? Seriously? This is a success? Listen to this local report. This is from El Cajon, California, about 23 students. American students trapped in Afghanistan. Clip 11.
They were trying to actually get back here. They had flights to get back here. They were going to the airport, and this, you know, the situation occurred.
One of the team members has made contact with a state official trying to do everything possible to get these families back home.
It's emotional. These are our families in our community.
So far, there is no word on when these children will make it back home or back to the classroom, but their community is waiting for them.
We're doing everything we can and pouring out our hopes and our desires that they are able to come back, but right now all we have is hope.
All they have is hope. They're hoping for a miracle. And Joe Biden is saying, well, you can just look to God, I guess. And we're getting out. It's too dangerous for us. What about for these 23 students? We told you about another one that was stranded. She has since made her way back on one of those cargo planes. The gal from Colorado Springs, I forget her name, but it was one that was mentioned in a New York Post story we read earlier this week. But she's back. She's in the United States. She's safe. But listen to her interview here with CNN, clip 12.
But I still feel sadness. Like, I feel like there's so many people still trapped and they're in danger, and like, I can't do anything about it. And like, this is why I'm kind of doing this interview. I want to bring awareness to the situation that there's so many people who are stuck and need help. And like, I feel like no one's doing anything about it. Like, we're doing as much as we can, but I feel like there could be done more.
Jen Psaki said this week that no one's stranded. She said this week that this evacuation disaster has been a success. Sean Hannity played a devastating montage, devastating if you're the Biden administration. This was on his show, I believe, earlier this week, clip 13.
I would say that this is now on track, Peter, to be the largest airlift in U.S. history.
I'm sure that if they capture me, they will kill me. Like me, there are 100 people. This is called the wrong policy of the United States.
When I went there, they were just whipping people left and right, so I got whipped and I got really scared. I came back.
Bringing American citizens out, it is bringing our Afghan partners out, it is bringing allies out.
I worked half of my life with the U.S. and now they left me behind.
I served my basically one third of my life with the U.S. government, and now I'm not even able to save my own family, my own blood.
So no, I would not say that is anything but a success.
I'm an American. Rescue me. Evacuate me. Take me home.
Sounds from the stranded there in Afghanistan. Joe Biden yesterday also, in that short speech on the subject of Afghanistan, he talked about the phone call that he had with the G7 leaders. Listen to what he said there, clip four.
Second, the G7 leaders and the leaders of the EU, NATO, and the UN all agreed that we will stand united in our approach to the Taliban. We agreed the legitimacy of any future government depends on the approach it now takes to uphold international obligations, including to prevent Afghanistan from being used as a base for terrorism. And we agreed that none of us are going to take the Taliban's word for it. We'll judge them by their actions.
As I understand it, the phone call lasted for all of 7 minutes. And there he is, summarizing the contents of the discussion. We agreed! We agreed! Angela Merkel, she agrees with me. And so does Boris Johnson. So do the other G7 leaders. Justin Trudeau, he agrees. Everybody's in agreement. Everyone sees Joe Biden as a hostage. That's the truth. The Taliban have taken him hostage. Britain has already warned that they're not going to be able to get all of their citizens out by August 31. Not everyone would be evacuated before August 31 deadline, agreed with the Taliban, said Defense Minister Ben Wallace. We're not going to be able to do it. That's just the cold, hard reality of this situation. And these G7 nations are dependent on the U.S. military in Kabul to even carry out some of these commando actions that are rescuing people and bringing them to the airport. If they don't have America behind them, they're defenseless too. You don't have the American super. It's like Bagram Airfield. Take that out of the heart of Afghanistan and the Afghan army. They don't have the backup. They don't have the support. Boris Johnson said yesterday, we will go on right up until the last moment that we can. But you've heard what the president of the U.S. has had to say. You've heard what the Taliban have said. I mean, this is the reality. Angela Merkel in Germany, listen to what she said yesterday. This is through an interpreter, clip 10.
The evacuations are being carried out in a broad cooperation. Of course, and I want to stress this, the U.S. is leading them. Without the U.S., other nations couldn't continue the evacuations. We need to recognize that.
Now, they're carefully worded statements. They're not just going to trash the United States, but you read the European papers, and these leaders are absolutely furious. They're mad at the United States, not the Taliban. They can't believe what they're seeing happen. They're stunned. And she made a point, if you listen there, she made a point to say, I really should stress here that this is the United States of America's doing. They know disaster is coming. And they're already laying the groundwork for putting all the blame on the United States of America. And America is going to deserve a lot of that blame for sure. What is this doing to NATO? Here's Joe Biden saying, I called him this morning, a nice video call. Yeah, we agreed. Did I say that we agreed? We did. We agreed. NATO is disintegrating. European nations and powers are seeing that America cannot be trusted as a reliable ally. Listen to what Nigel Farage had to say just yesterday, clip 9.
How does the United States look on the world stage?
Never been worse. I mean, we have been beside you for 20 years. We too, after 20 years, were tired of being there. But how you withdraw, the method by which you withdraw is just as crucial for the military operation as how you go in. And for President Biden, unilaterally, without consultation with us or the rest of the NATO allies, just to announce America is going to effectively fly the white flag to the Taliban to see that dramatic takeover of these barbarians of the country. Why would we ever trust America in any international mission, given they make decisions without consulting their closest friends?
Now that's Britain. What do you think they're saying behind closed doors in Germany? Why would we ever trust the United States ever again in an international mission? And now think about the prophecy in Daniel 11 and verse 40. The big clash, the spectacular prophesied clash between the King of the North and the King of the South. And America's not mentioned in that prophecy. It's not mentioned in that clash. They're not part of it. They're gone. They've evacuated the region. They're no longer there. That clash happens in and around Iran, right there in the Middle East. And the U.S. goes missing. This is from the AP. The United States clashed with some of its closest allies over President Joe Biden's insistence on sticking to the August 31 Afghanistan withdrawal. It says Biden insisted after virtual talks with leaders of the Group of Seven industrialized democracies Tuesday, that the U.S. and its closest allies would stand shoulder to shoulder in future action over Afghanistan and the Taliban, despite disappointing them in their urgent pleas now to allow time for more airlifts. Urgent pleas coming from the G7 leaders. Please, please don't leave on August 31. And Biden says to them yesterday, no, the Taliban say that we've got to go. It says the U.S. president was adamant that the risk of terror attacks was too great to accede to appeals from G7 leaders to keep what are now 5,800 American troops at Kabul's airport beyond the end of the month. He insisted that the threat of terror attacks is so great, they've got to leave. They've got to leave behind British citizens, German citizens, French citizens, and American citizens. The article says Britain and other allies, many of whose troops followed American forces into Afghanistan nearly 20 years ago to deal with the plotters of the September 11 attacks on the United States, had urged Biden to keep American forces at the Kabul airport longer. No country would be able to evacuate all their citizens and at-risk Afghan allies by the August 31 deadline, allied officials had said. Nobody can evacuate their citizens or our Afghan allies unless you stay a little bit longer. And yet the Biden administration, with Barack Obama behind the scenes, will not do it. They won't. As I said earlier, what more proof do we need to see that this is not some botched effort? This is not some sign of incompetence. This is a plan. This has been in the plan from the beginning. And they are following through. It's brought to you by the same people that helped to orchestrate the Iran nuclear agreement. The same people. The same administration. The same spirit. My father talks about it in this booklet, America Under Attack. Call our operators. Make sure you get it. We're going to have to update this, as you can see. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. And if you aren't subscribing to the Trumpet magazine, make sure that you get a one-year subscription to Tomorrow's News Today. It's offered without cost or obligation. Both of them, the Trumpet, the booklets. We don't sell God's truth. We give it away freely. And others who are very faithful and devoted to this work through their voluntary tithes and offerings. They help to fund all of this literature. It's good quality material, even looking at it physically. If you've seen some of our books and booklets and so on, our magazine, it obviously does cost money to produce these things. But we want to give it away to as many people who will request it. to as many people who will go through it and study it and understand prophecy. We were talking about prophecy and world events even this morning in doctrines, our doctrines class, and some of the students were just saying how the events of today, right now, how it really does serve as a powerful motivation to really dig into the Bible, to dig into the prophecies of God. God gives us so much valuable insight and wisdom and understanding, and we can see where this is leading. It's leading right into the kingdom of God. It's leading right to the return of Christ. And there's certainly a lot of horrific events that have to happen, that are prophesied to happen just before the return of Christ to this earth. And we're getting a little foretaste of some of those prophecies of God, like in Matthew 24. The same Antiochus movement behind the Iran nuclear deal. It's the same spirit, it's the same administration that says, hey, we want the Taliban to win here and America to lose. We want to bring shame, international shame upon the United States. We want to empower Iran and China and Russia. It's all according to plan, isn't it? There have been all these reports, tweets and such about the hardware left behind. Think about just abandoning these bases. And you're doing it as you know the Taliban are sweeping across the nation. And they don't even destroy the tanks and the planes and the machine guns and all the vehicles, the grenade launchers. Here's some of the hardware they left behind, U.S. troops. 75,000 war vehicles, including light and medium tactical vehicles, Humvees, mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, and armored personnel carriers. It says here, 208 airplanes and helicopters, including 20 A-29 Super Tucano attack aircraft, Black Hawk helicopters also were captured. Those cost up to $21 million each, by the way. 600,000 rifles, machine guns, shotguns, and howitzers were transferred to Afghan security forces, and 25,000 grenade launchers and 2,500 howitzers, the modern-day cannon. There was one congressman who said that the Taliban's Black Hawk helicopter fleet is now larger than most nations on Earth. It's like in the top 15 all of a sudden. Just suddenly. It's got one of the top 15 air forces in the world. The Obama people are making the Taliban great again. We didn't see the last days of the Taliban back in 2001. That was Time Magazine's prophecy. They're back. This is Taliban 2.0. This is Taliban on steroids. This is Taliban with an army now, a Western-style army. They've got all the equipment. I mean, they'd be just like the West if you send them a shipment of deodorant and underwear. Then they've got everything. These are backwoods illiterates coming down from the hills and just handed all of this equipment. And now they've got their Western-style army. My father wrote, America's deadly nuclear deal with Iran. It says this nuclear deal did the opposite of advancing America's national security. It didn't make the world more secure, but far more dangerous. It says the U.S. government has had a no-ransom policy in the past. The Obama administration insisted this was not a ransom payment, but then a couple weeks later it admitted that it delivered the cash only if and when Iran released the prisoners. This is just the way they operated. Sure, we'll pay the ransom. says here, how can we consider ourselves a superpower when we make such a ridiculous deal? How can you explain America now being the number one state sponsor of the number one state sponsor of terrorism? That's what we wrote. What was that? 2016. The United States of America sponsoring the number one state sponsor of the number one state sponsor of terror. That's how we helped and empowered Iran. And now look at what we're doing with the Taliban. How do you explain it? It's a plan. That's how you explain it. It says here, America's weakness is exposed, and Iran will continue to capitalize on that. Where is the pride in our power? Where's the pride? Where's the fighting spirit? He goes on to ask. It says, America has proved itself willing to be pushed around. It is faint of heart. That's another prophecy. We could point to several of them. Barack Obama has his officials meeting with the Taliban yesterday morning, and then he comes out from that. The CIA director reports back to Washington. Biden gets I'm assuming this is the chronology. I don't know all of the details. But Biden gets on the phone with all of these Western leaders. Some of them have their own people in Kabul. And he says, nope, got to get out. August 31's the deadline. This is what the Taliban are insisting on. And oh, by the way, ISIS-K, they're surrounding the Kabul airport as well. Too dangerous. They could shoot down one of our C-17s. My father had another piece just last year, September, the Barack Obama mystery. It says here, the Iranians may not know that the Americans are literal descendants of ancient Israel, but they do label America the great Satan and the Jewish state the little Satan. They really want to blot these nations out. And through his Iran nuclear deal, Barack Obama was helping them accomplish this goal. He was helping to bring it about. This was all part of the plan. My father said further on, Obama wants to destroy everything good in America and to fundamentally change the nation into a Marxist dictatorship. Do you believe that? Look at what's happening to the United States. Look at what's happening to the United States in the Middle East. This is all part of the fundamental transformation. This, the $1.2 trillion, then $3.5 trillion, wide open borders, just let them stream in by the millions, collapse the economy, and just take over. Just take over everything. Just keep printing dollars. And then all these Republican senators who hop on board with the $1.2 trillion, I wonder what they're thinking about the $3.5 trillion that's piggybacked to it now. Weakness. Faint of heart. They won't stand up to it. They sign off on $1.2 trillion with Joe Biden and Barack Obama, even after they rejected the $1 trillion infrastructure bill from President Trump. And then they come out and they praise themselves. It's like they're breaking their arms trying to pat themselves on the back. Yeah, it's bipartisan. We're working for the future of America. They're destroying America. They're part of the fundamental transformation. And you just have Donald Trump and those who support him standing up for America as we traditionally know America to be. Now, that movement's not going to solve. It's coming back, but it's not going to solve the problems of this nation because we're so far from God and we've rejected his laws and we refused to receive his prophetic warnings to change our behavior. We think that, well, if we can just get the communists out of the way, everything returns to normal. We're coming right up to the end of this age. We're coming right up to the return of Jesus Christ to this age. And before that, 3.5 years of great tribulation. That's what your Bible prophesies. Jesus said so. Why won't people, even in the world of traditional Christianity, why won't they believe Jesus? Why won't they look at the Olivet prophecy? Why won't they consider what he prophesied? Why aren't they like the disciples? The disciples in Jesus' day, they came to Christ and they said, look, tell us. Tell us what's going to happen right at the end of this age before you return to this earth. You would think there'd be more discussions like that in the world of traditional Christianity. There aren't. There aren't. They just turn a blind eye to the prophecies of God, and they sure don't want to submit to the laws of God. They deny the power of God, like Paul said to Timothy. Well, if you're listening, if you're watching this program, if you're a regular viewer to the Key of David, or you go to our website, thetrumpet.com, perhaps God's opening your eyes to see. Perhaps he's opening your ears to hear. And perhaps you need to do a little bit more with this, like I was discussing in the doctrines class this morning. God's just given us so much over the years. The former rain, the latter rain, this continuous flow of understanding and revelation and truth. But if you reject it, if you walk away from it, if you stop growing, you'll lose it. You'll lose it in a matter of moments. Look at how quickly a nation can lose its power and its prestige, its influence. We saw it play out in the spiritual nation of Israel. People that had been faithful to God's truth, his true doctrines, for years and years and years. And then this satanic Laodicean movement comes along at the end of the 1980s, the early 1990s. And they forcibly lead an entire church era astray. They forcibly lead the flock of God, the sheep of God. Sheep who need a shepherd, or we'll just wander about and get lost. Most of God's people in these last days have rejected God's truth, his government, his plan, his purpose. And they've long forgotten the God who brought them into his family early on, maybe 10, 15, 20 years before Mr. Armstrong died, 30, 40 years perhaps. It's not enough to receive the truth. You've got to receive it. You've got to hold on to it. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So you've got to hold on to it, and most important of all, you've got to use it. You've got to be a doer. That's how we receive more instruction, more truth, more doctrine, more teaching, is if we're obedient to God's laws, to his doctrines, his teachings. There's lots of false doctrines out there. There's lots of false teachings out there. Satan is a deceptive being. He's the god of this world. He and his demons are confined to this earth. They've erected this system of religion, even. Many religions competing with each other. They're behind the modern system of education. They're behind all of the failures in human government. And they're behind some of these dreadful, almost depressing events that we have to cover on this show from time to time. But be assured, the prophecies of God are being fulfilled. And all of this culminates in the greatest event, the best news ever, the greatest event in the history of the universe. The prophesied return of Jesus Christ to this earth, and then the establishment of God's kingdom, God's family government on this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, we don't get to our feedback nearly as often as we should, but we sure enjoy reading it. You can write us The Trumpet, or rather TD@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.